That's good. You know, good friends, I have a few good friends. Brother Sean's a good friend, but sometimes good friends are like warts. They're just hard to get rid of. And but thank you very much. You know, it's interesting. I don't know. I noticed something. I noticed that God is orchestrating something behind the scenes that I didn't know about until this morning. And it's neat to see this. It happens many times. If you have to speak to people using the Word of God, a lot of times God orchestrates things and we just don't know about it. And so I noticed through all the songs, and I noticed through the different things that were even said today, I realized why the Lord has this message here today that I'm going to present to you. And it wasn't the message that I started with. I had a great message. I mean, it was wonderful. I loved it. And then it just, there was no peace about it. And I was like, Lord, then what do you want me to do here? I have 17 years, 18 years of messages I could preach, Lord. And then I realized once the song started playing, once the Holy Spirit started to move, I realized, oh man, God has something special for you all sitting out here today. He has something special. It's amazing how he can take one truth and he can apply it to everybody. He can orchestrate this before we even got here. It's amazing how he does that. And it amazes me that it's his love that does that for you. How much God truly loves you. How much Jesus Christ loved for you. How much love he has for you. And every one of those songs that were sung about Jesus and about his love and then him returning. And I was praying, God, please come quick before I have to preach. And, you know, just, man, how much God loves you. And then I realized, okay, Lord, because I was really struggling with this. I was struggling with this message. I really, to be honest with you, I like to use a message that I already have and I've already preached or tried, you know, at least on teenagers. And but he didn't let me do that. And as I went to bed last night, I was just like, Lord, this is an absolute flop of a message. This is absolute. It's one of my worst ones ever put together, God. And then this morning I had to apologize to him. I said, God, you are doing something behind the scenes. For you all out here, and I hope you're sitting here, I hope you understand this. This message was not put together with great ability. It was not put together with the wisdom that I had. But the Lord just led and guided and showed me different things in his word. And as I looked at it, I said, God, it's so elementary. It's so below us, and I apologize for using that word. But many of you in here, you're very seasoned Christians. You know the scriptures. And as the music started playing, as the Holy Spirit moved, I realized what God was doing. And now I realize even more what your great God was doing for you last night while you were asleep. I realized what he was doing when he was having these different things pinned down. Now, I can't promise you the message is going to be good. I can't promise you the way I get it across is going to be well. But I can promise you, there's somebody in this message that you need to know. There's someone in this message that you need to hear from today. And I hope that you can open your heart up and open your ears up to hear this message today. But I am very honored just to be able to take God's word and present it. It is a true honor. And there's different things that happen in life and that just sometimes God uses in somebody that has to speak about God's word. And it was many years ago where I had a basketball team of boys. It was from the community. It was an outreach that I had. And one of the boys walked in, and the young man had many new piercings on him. He had piercings in his ear and his lip, and he had piercings in his body. And all the other boys stopped, and they all kind of stared at him. And then all of a sudden I looked at him, and I was like, hey, buddy. I said, guess what? Jesus had piercings too. And the whole room got quiet. And I was like, let me tell you a little bit about him. And I got to just briefly say, hey, Jesus had piercings. He had one in each hand, one in each foot, one in his side, and many in his brow. And I said, but there's a little bit of difference between his piercings and yours. And I got to go on, and I got to just share with him a little bit about it. And I got to talk to him a little bit about the piercings of Jesus. If in John 19, verse 1, it talks about, in verse 2, it says, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put it on him, a purple robe. The thorns that pierced the brow of Jesus in John 19:1. In John 19:34, it says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water." John 20:25 says, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And then in Psalms 22, it talks about the pierced, that they pierced my hands and my feet. This is Jesus Christ. For some of you, it's your Savior. For some of you, it may just be someone that you know. But as we look at that, we see that his hands, his feet, his pierced brow, and his pierced side were all pierced. And there's a reason for each one. I was with, like Brother Sean said, I was with Brother Sean and Tim Kennard the other day. And what a group of friends. And I was with them. And I said, "Hey, Brother Tim, you want to be more like Jesus?" And he's like, "Yeah, of course." I said, "Let me pierce you a few times like him." And he didn't like that idea. But I brought a simple little nail. Now, it's got to be authentic. I bought it off Amazon. They said it was. And I think there's about two more now left. Okay, just kidding. That's just a joke. But I brought this nail, and just as a symbol, just as an example, just so we could get a visual of a thought of the piercings of Jesus Christ and what these piercings meant. And as they went to pierce the hands of Jesus, the piercing of the hand to the cross, you got to understand, the piercings were caused, the difference between the young man that got his piercings and the piercings on the cross, the piercings in Jesus Christ were caused by sin, by sinners, and Satan. We have these three elements of the piercings. The sin of mankind has pierced our Savior. The sin of our just plain out sinners, the soldiers that pierced his sides, soldiers that nailed him in there. And then we have Satan always attacking our Savior. The piercings happened a different way than that young man's piercings happened. But as we look at it, we look at the hands that were pierced, Jesus' hands that were pierced, the piercings of the hands to the cross is trying to stop Jesus from touching one more life, stopping him from healing one more person, stopping him from helping raise someone from the grave. Those precious hands of Jesus that were pierced, the nail that tried to restrain the hands of Jesus on the cross. And then we look and we see his feet also were pierced. And we see his feet were pierced, and the sin and the sinners and Satan tried to stop Jesus from traveling to those who need him the most, to the sick, to the lame, to the poor, to the palsy, to the blind, to the breathless. And it didn't work. He still draws nigh to us even today. We look at the pierced brow, the crown of thorns that they put on his head, and they tried to stop his wisdom and his truth from spreading his word to all the minds of the people. But the thorns and the piercings could not stop his truth from spreading throughout the world. They pierced his side, and that piercing of his side with a spear was trying to stop his very beating heart, trying to stop his love from spreading into all the world. But that spear could not stop his love from spreading. It didn't work. And it brings us to a wonderful verse in the Bible, very familiar, very famous verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That love that God had, giving his only begotten Son to come down to this earth to be pierced many times for our sins, many times for the sinner, and Satan trying to cause all this to happen. The piercings of Jesus Christ. Jesus had piercings. Do you remember when the hand of Jesus reached way down for you? Anybody in here remember that day? Help me out here. You remember that day. Do you remember when it reached way down for you? Do you remember when Jesus walked your way and brought you salvation? He walked down that path and he found you. He knew exactly where you were, and he traveled to you with his word and gave it to you freely? Do you remember when his truth finally set you free? Set you free. And I remember the day. I remember the day when I grew up in a pastor's home. I got saved at a very young age. My mother and father and at home led me to the Lord at my bedside, and I really just don't remember anything besides that. So as a teenager, I made assurance of my salvation, 18 years old, made assurance of my salvation, and boy, do I remember that day. I remember where the truth finally set me free. I loved it. The truth set me free. God's truth set me free. And I remember that day. Do you remember the day where the truth finally set you free? Do you remember when you felt true love for the first time from a real God when he saved your soul? May we never stop the loving hands of Jesus from touching one more soul, one more life, one more person. May we never bind his feet to stop him from traveling to those far away. May we never hold back his truth. His truth from freeing a soul from that is in bondage. And may we never cut his love off from the hurting. Christians, today, we need to use our hands. We need to use our hands. The hands that were pierced by Jesus, our hands that are now freed by Jesus Christ, we need to take our hands that we have today and we need to go out and we need to use these hands to heal, to help, to uplift, to deliver, to give, to serve our God. Man, what a wonderful Savior we have. Jesus, that name, you know, something inside of me, I just can't wait to see Jesus Christ. And you know, I was reading the scriptures the other day and I was reading about the crown of life. And I was like, man, I'm going to get a crown of life. And then I thought, man, it is going to be so easy to take the crown of life and to throw it at my Savior's feet. It's going to be easy for me to do that. The Savior that I wake up in the morning and I cry out to and I plead with for all those unspoken requests or all those heartaches that they sang about. Man, that Jesus, that every time I have a need, he's faithful every time to be there and meet it. That Jesus, he went to the cross and his love showed. And man, how doubting Thomas was there. And he putting your finger inside his wound, inside his side, the brow that was pierced. That love that he had for me, it's overwhelming. It's a love that I've never seen before. It's a sacrifice that I've never experienced before. But it's my Jesus. It's my Jesus I get to serve. May my hands be used to help, to heal, to uplift, to wash the feet, to serve the helpless, to give when it's my opportunity. Christian, may we always be willing to go the extra mile. May we take our feet. May we travel. You know, this very thing, I think of our jail ministry, how the men go and they travel into the prisons. They travel into the jails. You know, normally people are trying to get out of the jail, just so you guys know, trying to get out of it. But you gentlemen, traveling into the jail to give the truth, to give the love of God, to give something that they need so deeply, and traveling in there, may we take our feet, may we take our opportunity and travel to those that need it. May we take even our funds to give it to somebody else, to travel into another country, to travel into another area, to travel into an area that maybe the truth is that we're just, if we're honest, we're scared to go into those areas. Many of us would say, no, I could never do that. We were at a church just yesterday in an area of town that many might be uncomfortable going to, but there's a pastor there that faithfully gets up Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and shares this very truth about Jesus Christ to those in that community. Where are your feet going, Christian? Use your feet. Use those feet that God gave you. Use those feet to travel and to, as it says, that your feet are prepared in putting on the armor of God with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Taking the gospel of peace and bringing it to those that need it and bringing it into a war, into a battlefield, and presenting the gospel to whoever will hear. Christian, may we gain the wisdom of God and give out the truth of his word to everyone that we can. And when I was looking at this and thinking about this, and as they placed that crown of thorns upon Christ's head and they pushed it on there, and the symbol is that he's a king and he saved others, himself he could not save. But it's a picture to me as, man, the wisdom of God and the truth of God cannot be stopped by sin and Satan and sinners. The truth of God will always prevail. The wisdom of God always will prevail. And I look here and I think of our Christian school teachers. And I think of other teachers, Christian teachers that just go in and they're preaching in other schools. And I think this is a job that we do. We go out and we take the truth of God and we present it in every opportunity we can, because we understand the wisdom of God and the truth of God ought to be put into the ears of everyone that would listen. Man, the truth of God. The crown couldn't stop the truth of Jesus. The crown cannot stop the wisdom of God. That mean, angry crown of thorns that they placed upon his head could not stop the truth that came to your ears one day at your salvation day. The nails were not strong enough to hold the very healing hands of Jesus Christ to the cross. They weren't strong enough. Doesn't matter how strong this metal is. Doesn't matter how hard they pounded it in. But his love, his healing, his wisdom, his truth that Jesus has for you and has for me outdid all of that. Christian, where is your heart? Where is your heart today? As they pierced his side, and they go up and they pierced his side, they said blood and water came out, and there's a whole theory to that, and he died of a broken heart, and there's all these thoughts and things. But the piercing of the side of Jesus Christ, trying to end his life, trying to stop his heart from beating. You know, it's interesting. Sin and the sinner and Satan did everything they could to stop the beating heart of Jesus Christ, to stop the very love that he had and he was giving out. They tried to stop it with a spear, with a pierce. But we're here today to testify that no spear, no piercing can stop the love of God that came to you that day when you needed it the most. Man, what a mighty God we have. What an unbelievable Savior. I told you, it's very elementary. This message is very elementary. But the piercings of Jesus and the meaning that it has for us as Christians to then, as Jesus sacrificed his very hands and he sacrificed his very feet and he sacrificed his very heart and he sacrificed his very head and his wisdom, that ought to motivate us to get our hands, to get our feet, to get our heart, to get our truth from God and to go out and to spread it and to tell it and to live it and to give it out for God and to say, hey, my Jesus, you loved me so much. I don't understand why sometimes. I don't even understand the huge sacrifice sometimes. Sometimes it blows my mind why you would love even me. But he does love you. He loves you so very much. Christian, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is it loving God? Is it loving others? Is it loving the church? Is it loving your brothers? Is it loving the lost souls? When's the last time that you were able to go to a soul that was lost and just share the love of God for them and to them? You know, I do believe hell is a scary place. But whenever I'm witnessing to somebody, I do use hell. But I also use the love of God, because I do believe the love of God is way more powerful than the scariness of hell. And I believe the love of God draws way more than the scariness of hell. And hell is a scary place. I agree. It's a scary, scary place. But I don't think there's anything more powerful than the love that Jesus has for you and for me. I don't think there's anything more powerful than that. The love of Jesus Christ, it constrains us, it holds us, it helps us, it delivers us, it even guides us, it motivates us. The love that he has, the piercings that he showed us, it's amazing. He came back and he rose from the dead, and no nail could hold him, no spear could hold him, no crown could hold him, no grave could hold him, no sinner could hold him, no sin could hold him, no Satan could hold him, nothing can hold him. He rose from the grave because of his love for you and for me on that cross. He died died, he suffered, and then he rose again, and now he's in heaven, and he's saying, hey, I'm there, and I'm preparing a place for you to come again. I'm going to come and take you home one day with me. His love is still there. It's still being thrown out there. It's going to spread and spread and spread. Christian, today, don't let the love of God stop at his pierced hand. Don't let the love of God stop in your corner. Don't let the love of God that he showed you stop in our church. Let's spread the love of God. Let's look at his piercings just for a moment. Let's take and meditate on what he has done for us. Many times we are so busy in our life that we get overwhelmed with our situations and our circumstances. We get depressed by the things that are happening around us. And all in all, there was a song that was sung, and it's talking about look to the Lamb of God. It's talking about looking up to Christ. You know, I love that very thing where Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. I love that story. When he lifted that serpent up, it provided hope. Hope to everyone that was poisoned. I love the story where we have hope. You know, hope is something that we oftentimes overlook as Christians, but hope is a very needed part. It goes right along with the love of God, our hope in Christ. And our hope in Christ is not just flipping of the coin, a 50-50 chance. Our hope in Christ is secured hope. Meaning that when we say, hey, I'm hoping for the day of Christ's return, it means that he is coming. I just don't know when he's coming, but I know good and well my Savior loves me and that he's on his way. Man, he is on his way. And I just love this about Christ, how he shows us through a few things. No nail could pierce the hand of Jesus so hard that it would stop him from healing. No nail could stop Jesus from raising from the grave. No crown of thorns could stop the wisdom and the truth that Jesus and the power of his word. No spear could stop the heart and the love of Christ for changing the entire world. Many years ago, my wife invited a Muslim lady to our church in Menominee, Wisconsin. And the Muslim lady worked in the mall, and she decided to come, and she came to visit our church, and she wanted to see what it was like, and a Baptist church, a Muslim lady, and she's like, can I come? And I'm like, yeah, you come. Come however you'd like, and she did. She came, and she started to visit, and she sat through the message, and she listened very, very well. She just listened. We sang the songs they gave, the announcement, the preacher preached, all that was sent out. But afterwards, there was something that just, she couldn't get over. She could not get over this one thing. And she said, I knew that Christians believed in Jesus, but I didn't realize how real Jesus was in their life. She had no idea how much we loved Jesus Christ. And so my wife got to just talk to her a little bit more about Jesus and why we love him so much. Christian, today, don't lose your love for Jesus. Don't lose it. Look at him, meditate on him, think about him. Jesus Christ, his love, his piercings, what do they mean to you today? What do they show you today? How do they motivate you today? You know, that lady, I think about it, she never did accept Christ in front of us, but I know one thing, she got to hear about Jesus. She has opportunity. She still does today. What the Lord was doing in her life, I'm not exactly sure. The piercings of Jesus need to move us to an action of our hands to serve. Where do you serve today? What's your service today, Christian? What do you do with the very hands that Jesus Christ gave you? What service, what act of service do you do for Christ? Is there an area that you serve in the church? Is there a service that you do, maybe in your job, your occupation? Now, I enjoy preaching, but I've also had the opportunity to just work regular side jobs and things like that in the past. Got to work with plumbers, got to work with electricians, got to work with construction workers, got to work with office workers, got to work with many different types of people. And one thing I really enjoyed and I really understood was wherever God put me was my ministry. Whatever job you're in right now is your ministry. It's where you're supposed to go, and you're supposed to take the love of God and put it wherever you can and put it in whosoever ear you can. You will never regret sharing the love of God with someone. You'll never regret it. If someone gets angry and mad at you for sharing the love of God, just understand one thing. The sinners that put him on the cross, they got angry and mad. The anger, the fierceness. They put him on the cross, they shoved the crown on, they put the nails in. That anger and that mad and that evilness that they had, they needed one very thing. They needed that love. They may be angry, they may get mad, but that's just a hurting soul. If you understand the difference, when Christ moves in, he gives you that peace that passes all understanding. But an unsaved person, all they have is a very hurting soul, very hurt. So if you put love on that hurt, sometimes they react to like, oh. In the hospital, we had to clean out wounds, and I would have to irrigate wounds out and have to take sometimes alcohol and wipe it over a wound to clean it. Now, they didn't appreciate it, but I knew it was something that they needed to clean the wound. So I would clean out their wound, and they would get, oh, they'd shock. They'd like, stop. But I had to put that cleanser back on it. When you talk to an unsaved person about the love of Jesus and they get a little, you get a little reaction back, understand, you just gave them a little bit of love of God, started to clean their soul a little bit. You planted that seed just enough. Don't give up. Keep cleaning. Keep giving the love of Jesus out. In your job tomorrow, in your job where you're going to be, man, put the love of God there. Shove it wherever you can, in every ear you can, in every opportunity you have. Share it with Jesus. Share it about Jesus Christ. What would you do? Where do you serve? How about where do you spread the gospel? Do you go anywhere? Do you use your feet? Do you use your opportunities to spread the gospel? Do you take the track rack and use that opportunity, and where you go, can you spread the gospel of Christ? How about of teaching his truth to whoever will listen? Now, teaching his truth, I do believe teaching is sometimes a difficult thing, but if you're a parent here today, you have the opportunity to teach. In Deuteronomy, it talks about them teaching the other generation. It talks about them binding it upon their fingers and putting it upon their head, around their neck, even putting on the doorposts of their home and teaching it here and teaching it there. It talks about teaching it to your children and putting it in front of them and putting it in their place. And many times, as parents, we fail because we do teach our children incorrectly. We put other things on their fingers and we put other things in front of their faces. But what we're here to say is, hey, it's time that we take and we teach the truth of God whenever we can, wherever we can, every opportunity we can, teach it to them, because today, even today, it seems like truth is what most people want is truth. We look at the news and we don't get it. We look at every other area of our world and we're not getting truth, and people are craving and wanting truth, and our real and only truth comes from Jesus Christ. May we give him out and be bold about giving the truth of God out. Because it is the truth that sets us, help me out, free. It's what set you free on your salvation day. And then that love that we all have, that love. I knew a pastor years ago. He lived in a very small town. His church was in a small town, and his church was smaller. But I remember the love that that pastor had for his community, the love that that pastor showed to his church year after year. He was 40 years there. 40 years he served there. When he retired, the community had a party for him. The community, people that didn't go to his church. Because the love that he just showed, yes, he was a pastor, yes, he was in the town, yes, but the community rose up and had a little party for him. And just honor and respecting of who he was and the love that he showed to the community. His love affected his entire community. Even though his church was small, it affected his entire community. That love that he had. I have some aunts and uncles that portray this very well, the love, the way that they show love. And I was talking to my wife the other day about it, how we're very blessed. I have some aunt and uncles I can look at and I can see how they show the love of God in the way that they live and the way that they speak and the way that they give and the way that they serve. And we were talking about it the other day, how truly blessed we are to have aunts and uncles that love God and love to talk about God and love to share the things about God. And I get to stand back as the younger generation and look. The cousins and the nieces and nephews, we all get to stand back and watch the older generation revelation, showing us how to spread the love of God properly. And you know what? If you're a senior saint in here, if you're an older Christian in here, if you're a seasoned Christian in here, let your love be shown to the younger generation. Let them see how to show the love of God. Let them see in you that there's no hardness, no bitterness, no anger inside of you, but the love of God truly is there. You know, you say, well, I've lost the love of God. I'm angry. I'm older. I'm this. Why don't you just stop for a minute, read through the scriptures. Every time Jesus was tortured, every time he was pierced. And why don't you just stop for a minute and look at it and see how much love was there to be able to put a nail into his hand, a nail into his feet, upon his brow. He didn't fight back. He didn't fight back. Why didn't he fight back? I mean, I would have fought back. You can't do that. That's not right. But he didn't fight back. He loves you. And he loved you so much, he took it all upon himself. Let's take some upon ourselves and show the love of God to everyone we can. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? The message is simple. The piercings of Jesus, his unbelievable love. Simple, simple message. Heard probably many, many times about the love of Jesus. But Christian, if you're in here today and the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart at all, why don't you do business with him? Don't let anything stop you. Don't let it stop you. You get business done with Christ. If you say, man, I've been failing in this area. I've been a bitter, I've been angry as a Christian, and I just go to Christ. Ask him for his all-consuming love to flood back into you. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for your bitterness to be taken away and you just to be filled back with the love of God. You say, man, it's just, I'm not serving the way I should, or I know I should. Jump back in. Get those hands that God gave you and start working for him. Start serving with him. I don't know. I haven't been giving truth out. I haven't been telling the truth of God like I should. Well, go to God, ask forgiveness, and ask him for more opportunity. Right now, the music's going to play. The altar is open. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, why don't we stand?